lingerer of the king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and tremble at his voice, and tremble at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All we see, how
apostles didn't have music. They just lift their voices. Name above all names, you are worthy, worthy of our praise. Heart will sing, how great is our God. Come on, one more time, let's lift it up before the Lord. Name above all names.
Name above all names.
Oh, you are worthy, 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 worthy. And my heart will sing, heart will sing, how great is our God. Now come on and give God a worship this morning. Hallelujah, he's worthy to be praised.
Anybody in here know that God is worthy to be praised? Let me ask the question, has God done anything for you to let you know just how great he is? If you don't know how great God is, let me go ahead and tell you a few things to show you how great our God is. You got up this morning. Huh? You didn't get up by yourself. God love touched your body and said, get up. But there are people who want to get up this morning who can't get up. But God rose you up. Somebody ought to give God some praise tomorrow because he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Jesus. Has anybody ever been through anything? Huh? And God showed you how powerful he was in that thing? Because you were doubting this situation. Your doctors were doubting this situation. Your families were doubting your situation. Your friends were doubting your situation. But God stepped in. And when God stepped in, everything changed. You got calm, peace came, love came, power. Somebody need to hear what I'm trying to say this morning. Our God is great and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Look, and if you feel like praising, go ahead and praise him. We still going to get out of here on the same time. It ain't going to make church longer. It ain't going to make church longer. If you holding your praise because you think it's going to make us go longer, it's not going to make us go longer. Go ahead and praise your God because we still getting out at 12 o'clock. Hallelujah. I just want to set some people free today. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. And Father God, we come to you to say thank you, Master. And thank you this morning for being with us. And there's not anything that I can say to make them feel you. They can feel you because your presence is here. We can feel your love. We can feel your passion. We can feel your compassion. We can feel your power. Thank you, Master, for being here with us. And we pray, Master, that while you are here, that we are ready to receive what you have for us to receive. Because somebody needs to leave here today blessed. Somebody need to leave here today delivered. Somebody need to leave here today set free. And we pray, Master, that you do all these things for us while you're here. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 I want to go right on into preaching. Amen. 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 We now have our opening hymn 547. Amen. Before we move to our next music selection, let me say thank you to everyone who came out to the training on this past Wednesday, all the new members that came out. If you didn't come, you missed something special. The meeting was a little longer than we planned because we introduced all of the leaders and all of the ministries that we have here at the church. And if you missed that, please come out on the next scheduled Wednesday. You should get notification from the moderator as to when that meeting will be. But make sure you come out because you want to know about this church and why we do what we do. So you won't feel a little confused or a little out of place when certain things happen. Amen? Amen. You don't know if you don't come and get that information. The information is powerful, so make sure you come and get that information. But I would just want to say thank you to all the new members and those who are already members who've been here for a long time who came out as well, because it does not hurt, you know, to get a refresher on what we are doing. So make sure that you come out, because we're going to go into even more detail in the next meeting. So once again, thank you guys for coming out. Look forward to seeing you. And also remember, we are running with a purpose. Make sure that you pay attention to all the signs that Walter has posted up throughout the church, because this church is moving in a certain direction. We gathered ourselves together as leaders and said that we're going to run with this theme, and we're running with it. So we need for everyone to be on board. So make sure that you are aware of what we are doing, how we are doing it, why we are doing it, and knowing that God has blessed what we're doing. Amen. Amen. God bless you. anybody in here want to tell God thank you? Let me ask that question one more time. Anybody in here want to tell God thank you? The Bible says that the highest praise we can give him is to say hallelujah. Well, there's nothing more greater that we can say than hallelujah. Somebody should say hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Whew, Jesus, I'm trying to recover. Anybody have a lot to say hallelujah for? I have much to say hallelujah for. And I'm quite sure you have much to say hallelujah for. God says he inhabits the praise of his people, which means he wants you to give him praise. And when you give him praise, he tells us he'll get in our praise, dissect our praise, figure out what our praise is about, and then take the power that he has and work out the problem that causes us to praise him. And then even if things are good, his power will move in that which is good in our life to give us more strength and power. Hallelujah. Somebody, you know, I'm trying to talk about how good our God is. Amen, amen, amen. I'm about to talk and preach myself into a shout, Jesus. Amen, amen. Y'all ain't ready for it. Y'all ain't ready for it. Amen, amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now with our praise elated. Or shall I say with our hearts elated, because our praises are high. So we want to pray a prayer of adoration, a prayer of thanksgiving, to say thank you, Master, for all that we have to praise you for. Because even in our bad situations, we can find good. Because in our situations, if we praise you, you are there. And if you are there, everything we need is in our situation. So we come this morning to say thank you, sir. Thank you for being a merciful God. Thank you for being that God who listens to his people. The Bible shares with us that your ear is turned to your people to hear their every cry. And not only do you hear our every cry, the Bible says that you have set Jesus up to be our intercessor. So when we don't know what to cry for or what to pray for, Jesus will pray for us. Thank you, Master, for being such an awesome God. Thank you for being a powerful God, because in our situations, in many cases, people don't know what we are going through, but you know. People don't know how heavy the world is upon our shoulders, but you know. People don't know the crookedness of the streets that we're walking, but you know. People don't know the sinking sand that we're standing on, but you know. People don't know the dark of the night that we're facing, but you know. Thank you, God, for being that God. Thank you for being not only that God that's there with us, but thank you for being that deliverer that you promised us that you would be. You said that you will be there with us and that we're healed by your stripes. And not only that we're healed by your stripes, but you said you will be our strong tower, you will be our might, and you will be our strength. So we come this morning to say thank you, sir, for giving us what we need so we can make it through every situation, every circumstance, every problem, every night that we face, every hill we have to climb, you are there with us. Thank you, Master. Thank you for being such a God that you said that when we can't walk, you'll carry us. And when we're leaning, you'll stand us back up. And when our minds are racing, you'll calm them. Thank you, Master, for being awesome God. Today, I just want to say hallelujah to your name, because you are worthy to be praised. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Our officers will come now for the purpose of tithing and offering.
Yeah.
ain't over. Anybody want blessings running over? Running over. Blessings running over. Running over. Hey, amen. I was still in the getting the blessings when you cut that off. Amen. Amen. Because if you like me, I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that your blessings will actually run you down and overtake you. Anybody want your blessings to overtake you? The Bible, the song says, shake down, shaking together, press down, shaking together, running over. But the word tells me that they will actually seek you out, find you, and overtake you. Somebody ought to give God some praises in here. Hallelujah. Let us bow. Our Father God, we come down to say thank you for these blessings that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, they be used to uplift your kingdom and touch someone who is in need. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let every heart say amen.
Think about what trusting God looks like. What does trusting in God look like? All of us are human in here. Everybody touch yourself. We're all flesh. At some point, all of us had to trust in God in some point in our lives. Some of us may be at a point where we're having to trust in this moment. There's going to be a time in the future where you're going to have to trust beyond what you can see. You're going to have to trust beyond what you can even comprehend. But how many know that trusting in God, it will get you to places that human beings can't promote you to, or trusting in God and having that relationship can get you in doors that man can't open. Trusting in God is believing in the things that you can't see, the unseen. Hallelujah. So right now we're going to sing about trusting in God. And if you're going through anything in this season in your life, know that you can trust God and he's going to deliver. He's going to heal. He's going to set free. He's going to open doors for you that no man can close. He's going to open windows that no man can shut. Some of you may need a door shut. Let me stop. We're going to trust in God right now. Hallelujah. Come on, just wave those hands in the air because we trust in him. In his faithfulness, hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my foreman in the fire time after time. Born of his washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary, more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard.
Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. You know, the last time they sung that song, I didn't make it through it. Amen. That's when I stood here for 15 minutes and cried the last time they sung that song. And I want you to know my sister and I, we were spiritually connected. And on her way home, she shared with me that God allowed me to mourn my mother's death before she died because of the connection that I had with her. Because I explained to her, I didn't know why I was crying. I didn't know why I couldn't move forward. I didn't know why I couldn't shake it. I didn't know why I couldn't hold it. And she shared with me on her way home, God just spoke into her spirit that he was mourning before she died. I gave him peace before she left him. That's the type of God we serve. We serve an all-knowing God and an all-powerful God and an all-merciful God and an all-loving God who knows what we need when we don't know what we need. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. But I will make it through today. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I won't be before you long. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll deal with verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And it reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the praise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Lord have mercy. I can close the book and we can go home. But just for a few moments, I would like to deal with the subject, God's sovereignty is the foundation of my sanity. God's sovereignty is the foundation, shall I say, of your sanity. My proposition to you is this: the peace of God is and will be with you forever. Let me say that one more time. The peace of God is and will be with you forever. Now, my brothers and my sisters, I know we now live in an unfamiliar time. Now, we're living in time now where the Antichrist is very present. He is no longer hiding or lurking in the dark. He is out in the open in broad daylight. Men now are more willing to double down and die with a lie than to tell the truth. Men now prefer being trickery, or shall I say tricksters, than being honest. The Antichrist is no longer hiding. Our society is filled with great deception, falsehoods, mistruths, so much so we don't know who to listen to. Now, who we can trust, because we are finding out that most men have a hidden agenda. Men are so selfish nowadays, they don't care that their neighbors are suffering, just as long as what's causing their neighbors to suffer doesn't have an effect on their lives. Amen. The Antichrist is no longer hiding. He's out amongst us. As a matter of fact, the Bible shares with us that they told us that the Antichrist spirit is already out here. And already amongst us, and already dwelling amongst us, but they're no longer hiding. They're out in Front Street now. And they don't mind you knowing who they are. We're living in a different time. The Antichrist has even made it to the White House. He doesn't hide who he is. For some reason, people don't want to take him at face value, but I was taught from the hood that if people show you who they are, you better believe them the first time. Maybe some of you all need to go to the hood a little bit. You'll find out some stuff that'll help you make it through life. Because when someone tell you they're going to do something, believe them that they are going to do it. But the White House has now become the home of the Antichrist. And this man is the same man that God warned us of back in the Old Testament, when the children of God said, "We want kings like the other nations." And God warned us that those kings would be evil men, that they'll be unruly, selfish men, men who would take upon themselves the position of the prophet or the position of saviors. And they'll tell you they're the only ones who can do something. They'll mislead you and misguide you so they can abuse you. This world is in a place of confusion. Young children don't know how to be children. Lord have mercy. They're running wild, shooting and killing people, and then the government takes off the laws that keep them from getting guns and make it okay for everybody to carry a weapon. We're living in unfamiliar times. It makes me think about when my mother used to tell me, "Baby, just keep on living. You're going to see some stuff that you had never seen before." We are seeing things now that we never seen before. Babies are being born hooked on drugs. And we wonder why they have behavior issues. They have behavior issues because their parents did drugs while they were pregnant with them, or in their presence when they was little children, and now they have behavior issues. We're living in unfamiliar times. Times even our parents have not seen. And this president we have, he's taken upon himself to use executive orders to undo the power of the Constitution, to dismantle democracy, to rob the poor, to give to the rich, to bring more oppression on those who are already oppressed. Well, I want to tell you, I got a God who sits high. My God can take orders that's from heaven, and he can give you power to handle any situation. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Romans 8:28 says it like this. And we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Our God will give us the power that we need to make it through any situation. So I want you to know today, don't be so concerned about that president in the White House. Don't be so concerned about those antichrists. Know that you have a God. He ain't sleep. And I said that the way I wanted to say it. He ain't sleep. I know the English teacher said he isn't. He ain't sleep. God is watching. God is aware of everything that we're having to deal with. God wants everyone to know there's nothing that you can't hide from God. One day you're going to have to answer for the things that you're doing. God knows it all. And not only will he give us power to handle every situation, God will give us power to be strong even when we're weak.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 12:9 says it's like this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient unto thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, have mercy. In other words, God don't need your power. The only thing he needs for you is to be available, be faithful, and trust him, and he will do the rest. My brothers and sisters, know that your God is with you. He's sitting on high, looking low, and watching everything. I don't want us to think that we're in our situations by ourselves. I don't want you to feel like you don't have any power, because what I want you to know is the God that you serve is the one who gives power to all. And when he gives power to all, he does not lose power. His power still remains the same. He is not a weak God. He is the all-powerful God. Don't be shaken by what you see. I know it's different. I know it's difficult. Because it makes me think about when I was younger, we used to be able to play in the whole neighborhood. Mm. You know, we were a little manny, so we play how I go get. Okay. I'm just being honest. We would play from my mother's house all the way down to the boulevard. Hiding in people's backyard, hiding on top of people's homes. You can't do that today. The time has changed so that if you hide in someone's backyard, they're liable to kill you. Because they're, first of all, not sure if you're not there to rob them. Those are the times that we're living in. But God wants you to know that he has an answer. When we look at this text, we find Paul teaching us something. We find Paul teaching us about having joy. We find Paul teaching us about having peace. He shares with us some powerful things. He shares with us even in the times of uncertainty, even when we find ourselves in bondage, even when we find ourselves confused. Paul says joy is always present. And Paul says in chapter 1, he teaches them there's joy in living. In chapter 2, he teaches there's joy in serving. In chapter 3, he teaches there's joy in sharing. And then when he gets to chapter 4, he says there's joy in resting. What I want you to understand, he was talking about resting in God, trusting in God, having faith in God. When God is your joy, the world can't take it away from you. The old folks used to say, my whole home church, my joy is not from this world.
Amen.
The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. When you have God and you understand who he is, you will have that kind of joy that the world can't take from you. Because what I want you to understand is joy is not an emotion. See, we taught people too long that joy is an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. It is a conscious, spiritual decision. Let me say that one more time for you. Joy is a conscious spiritual decision. God didn't promise you that trouble wouldn't come. Too many of us think that because we are Christians, we shouldn't struggle. I don't care who you are. At some point in your life, you're going to struggle. I don't care how much money you got. You're going to struggle. I don't care how much health you have. You will struggle. At some point in your life, you will struggle. But the question that God has for you is, how will you handle that struggle? What will be your response to that struggle? Will you go through that struggle with faith and trust? Or will you respond in a fashion where man won't know that God is with you? God expects for you to respond in the fashion where man knows that God is with you. Not only that God is with you, but he is the only and most powerful God. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. God intends for you to respond in a fashion that shows that you have strength, that shows that you trust him. Let me help you understand something. There's a difference between faith and trust. Faith is the fact that there are no facts. Amen. Did you hear me? Faith is the fact that there is or that there are no facts. Trust is the fact that God has done it once and he'll do it again. So when I respond, I'm going to respond out of the notion that God has already delivered me once. And that same God that delivered me once will deliver me again. So when things come up in my life, I should not be easily shaken. Because if I look back over my life and look at all the stuff that God has already brought me through, all the things that God has already delivered me from, then I ought to be able to respond in a positive manner, because I realize that the power that's in my life is not my power, but it's the power of my God. Somebody ought to give God some praise. God's sovereignty is my sanity. Paul wants us to understand that God got everything. Because when Paul wrote this letter, he wasn't in a good place. Not physically. Paul was in prison. When he wrote this letter of encouragement, he was in prison. And not only was he in prison, but he was tied to a Roman soldier. And shall I say, he was chained to a Roman soldier. And he wasn't chained for 2 hours of the day. He wasn't chained for a couple of hours or 4 hours or 8 hours of the day. But he was chained to this Roman soldier every day, all day. But for somehow, Paul, in the midst of all of this, was able to write a letter of encouragement to let you know, no matter where you are, no matter what your decisions may be, no matter what your situation is, joy is still with you if you trust and believe in God. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Paul says, don't let your anxiety get the best of you. You know, some of us, when the wind blows just a little bit, we start falling apart. We start calling everybody because we're anxious. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. I don't know where it's coming from. It makes me feel like I'm not on top of things. It makes me feel like I don't have any control. Well, sometimes God intended for you not to have control. Because when you are controlling it, he can't control it. Amen. We forget that God won't mess with your will. So if you desire something to come out in a certain fashion, God won't touch it. He'll stand back and watch you. Amen. Now, he'll probably come back later on and fix it up after you done messed it up. Because that's what we do in a lot of cases, because we get anxious. We can't wait. We can't be patient. And we go ahead and do things that we know we ought not to do because we're impatient and we feel that we got to take control. We got to take the reins. We got to run. When the whole time God is telling you, shut up, be still, be quiet, sit back, and let me handle it. When God tells you to be quiet, be quiet. When God tells you to sit still, sit still. When God tells you take your hands off of it, take your hands off of it. Because he's about to do something. And if he is about to do something, you don't need to be in the way. Because as long as you are in the way, he's not going to touch it. So sometimes God wants you to sit still. Many of us have a hard time sitting still. Many of us have a hard time being patient because we want things the way that we want things. But Paul shares with us when anxiety comes, he says, don't get irrational. Don't make a bad move. He said, make your request known to God. And not only did he say, make your request known unto God, but he said, pray a prayer of supplication. Supplication, for those of us who have attended Bible study, knows that supplication is a prayer when you're praying for your needs, when you need God to meet your needs, when you need God to do something for you. And then Paul says, not only should you ask for God to do something for you, but he said, in you asking God to do something for you, you ought to do it with thanksgiving. Do you hear me? You ought to do it with thanksgiving, which means you ought to do it with praise on your lips. Don't go to God with a pity party. Go to God praising God for what he's about to do. Too many of us go to God with a pity party versus going to God and praising God for what he's about to do. Because let me share something with you. If you are going through a storm, you must understand that the blessing is coming. If you are going through a storm, just on the other side of your storm is the reward. The enemy just don't want you to get through. So when you go and pray to God, you ought to pray to God with praise on your lips. Let me tell you something about me. When I pray to God, I don't say, oh, God, woe is me. Oh, God, I ain't going to make it. Oh, God, do this for me, and I won't do it again. I go to God with praise on my lips because I know what God has already pulled me out of. I know what God has already changed me from. I know where God is taking me. And if you have an idea where God is taking you and you know that God has already pulled you through some situations, you ought to go on your knees and praise God for what he's about to do. Amen. Master, thank you for delivering me. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you, Master, for shaking things up. Thank you for moving things around the way you moved them around. And thank you, God, for closing doors that I couldn't close and opening doors that I couldn't open. God's sovereignty is my serenity. This prayer that Paul is talking about is an intense prayer. It's one that normally leads someone to fasting. Paul wants us to understand that this battle is real. And that this battle is not only real, but it's a powerful battle. And that if we are involved, and we are all involved one way or the other, but if you're involved, you need to know that power is always with you, even if you're in a weak state, because your God has promised you some things. He has given you power to do some things. He has promised to always be your Father. Remember over in Revelations when he said he will wipe away all of your tears. In Proverbs, he said he'll be your confidence, for he won't let your foot be moved. In Isaiah, he'll say he will be your mind, and he'll keep your mind in perfect peace. Somebody need to give God some praise. He said over in Romans 8:31, he said that when the world is against you, I am with you. As a matter of fact, the writer says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He says that he is our wonderful counselor. He's our mighty God. He's our everlasting Father. He's our Prince of Peace. He's your way out of no way. He's your will in the middle of your will. Like the old folks say, he's your lily of the valley. Somebody ought to give God some praise, because God's sovereignty is your sanctity. When you're a Christian, you don't rely on yourself. When you're a Christian, you don't depend on yourself. When you're a Christian, you rely on God. Which means you consult God for everything. You don't make moves without God being consulted. When you are a Christian, you ask God for help in every situation. And when you do these things as a Christian, you expect God to move. And when you expect God to move, God says, I will meet you at your expectation. So when he meets you at your expectation, get out of the way, stand back, and watch your God work. Somebody ought to give God some praise in him, because when God shows up, everything changed. When God shows up, love is there. When God shows up, power is there. When God shows up, healing is there. When God shows up, deliverance is there. When God shows up, everything that you need shows up. Because God is the all-powerful, and there's none greater. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. Father God, we come down to say thank you, Master, for your presence with us today. And we pray that your presence doesn't end here, but as we leave these walls of this sanctuary, we pray that you go with us. Move all obstacles out of our way. Watch over us, keep us, and protect us until we can return back to this church where you had chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Now, like all God's children sing.
Let the church say amen.